I'm surprised that so many of you are here, because as you know, I'm competing against Matthias Etti. This talk will not be as long as I had intended, because you can hear my voice is already a bit damaged. Any one of you who has not yet heard or saw me in action NX, everybody knows what NX is.
No.
You don't know anything about NX.
Maybe.
You don't know anything about your mother.
I look it for, but I didn't.
Very good. So at least three newbies who might be surprised about what it does. Anyway, let's first not talk about NX, but talk about KDE development. I'm a part of the KDE project since a few years, but I'm not a developer in the sense that I write C++ or Qt code. I started with writing documentation, doing bug reports, etc. And what I found was that in this big KDE project, which we have now with lots of contributors from all over the world, there's a big gap in the development. In the sense that the people who write the code, they are very often on the bleeding edge. They run the bleeding edge, they use the bleeding edge. But the people who write the documentation, who do the translations, who are doing the artwork, they don't run the bleeding edge, because to run the bleeding edge means you have to compile it. And that means you have to have a lot of time to compile it. You have to have good current hardware in order to keep that compile time in acceptable limits. And I found developers very often don't run the complete KDE head. They just run the head of their own part of development, and they update to the complete thing if the development cycle closes. So in very many points in time, we have got this gap of current leading edge code, which only very few people actually test and run and use in their day-to-day work. And the fact that then everything speeds up towards the end of the release cycle. Then suddenly you have snapshots, you have betas, a few people start compiling it, for instance, with binaries, with Steve Binner's construct script, etc. So we get a few dozen, maybe a few hundred. If it's a lot, I guess, my personal guess, 1,000 people who run that code for a few weeks before it is released, and later millions will be using it. Then we have the problem with bug reports sometimes. So you get bug reports from users with which report against versions which are already two or three releases back. They report bugs against KDE 3.1. Now the developer who is responsible for that bug, who gets assigned that bug, he would very much like to solve it. But what does it mean for you to him? He probably has to install that old version, because he doesn't have it. He has to find a machine with that old version. Or the user who reports the bug would possibly very much like to verify if that bug is already solved and fixed in a newer version, and then he wouldn't bother anymore. But he can't access any newer version. It is a problem to him to quickly upgrade. Maybe it's a machine which isn't allowed to upgrade. So this is where NX can come into play. What do you see here? It's Conqueror. It's KDE. Anyone doubts this? What do you think what the operating system of that machine is? Maybe you have seen something before and you might have a guess. I show you. Because I've got this magic pixel on the upper right. If I click on that, the real operating system underneath is showing up. What I did is, and I do it now again, I logged in through the internet to a remote server. And everybody who is familiar with Unix knows that you can start remote X sessions, yes? So a remote X session normally works very well if you are in the same local area network. It is kind of usable if you've got a fast internet connection and if on the other end the fast connection is also there. If you have a fast connection from point to point, at least half a megabit of connectivity, and then you can run a remote X session full screen. Now this NX technology, which was developed by No Machine, has introduced a few optimizations, which allows you now to run remote X sessions, and not just X, even RDP sessions, where you access Windows, or VNC sessions, even across ISDN links or modem links, if it's not the slowest modem in the world you can imagine. To make you more familiar with what it really is, I configure a session in the same server, which is on the internet, and, well, don't laugh, I'm starting a GNOME session, it's just a shortcut for me. Because behind, because No Machine offers this menu, GNOME and KDE, and if you want to connect to Solaris, you could even run a CVE session. But I did hide behind GNOME my current KDE head, which I compiled on that machine on the internet. So if I connect to that, login, it's not GNOME which starts, it's KDE, the current KDE compile from last night or something. Now what you see is, you get a screen, which, it could also be VMware, running on the local machine. And the other session which I started with was a full screen session. And this one is not just a session which has a smaller window. And the full screen session is still here. I can run sessions in parallel. I can run from this client sessions to many different hosts. I can run a session to the same host. Try another one. I configure it. Now I run a KDE session, which means I'm running the version of KDE which SUSE 9.1 has installed there with a few updates. I believe recently I wasn't careful enough and it updated to some release candidate of 3.3 also. But just to show you that you can now as a user, if you've got access to a remote server, can run different versions of KDE in parallel. And if you are an ambitious user and want to do good bug reports for the KDE project, you can run your bug reports against different versions of KDE and find out where it is maybe fixed already. I'm sorry, my voice isn't getting better this afternoon. So this is another full screen session. I just minimize it again. Now, can you imagine what potential in that technology is just for the purpose of KDE development? I don't want you to think about all the other potential applications which are there. Of course, you could think that it will be it will give a huge impetus to migrations from Windows to Linux. Like in Munich, where they're currently struggling in their plans with how do they solve those last 10% where they are still dependent on Windows. Well, I can show you how they could solve that. Because now I'm connecting to another machine. I'm connecting to this one. And this is hosted in Rome, in Italy. Anyway, did you notice any speed? How do you say?
Degradation,
because it's remote and because it's on the internet. Did you notice anything? Well, of course, we've got a very fast connection here. We've got an extremely fast connection here. But the connection to the other side in Italy, it's only 512 kilobit. I think it's 384 kilobit ADSL connection. I wanted to start the Windows session there. Let me show you how you can start a Windows session. I connect to the same server on the other side and tell that server I want to, in reality, I want that connection proxied to a machine which is called XP. I don't want to have it full screen. Make it. The problem is with classical remote access, you can increase bandwidth more and more, and you reach a certain point where your responsiveness won't increase anymore, because you have got a huge empty pipe and your application is sending X requests to the X server and is then waiting for the replies of the X server. And these round trips consume a lot of time. They don't consume a lot of bandwidth, but time. Well, this huge pipe is empty, so the responsiveness of your desktop might be sucking. Anyway, this is now, Fabian is helping me. If you see an Italian Windows XP, maybe I can work on the floor way. And people were saying, you can't really use it for playing, for instance, so as you can see, you can even use it for playing. The bandwidth you need for an Linux session, which has a complete KDE desktop, and the user is running OpenOffice, is running Mozilla, not just KDE, is also running other applications, so say Conqueror for file management, Mozilla for internet browsing, Kmail for mailing, and OpenOffice for other office work. And again, he does that, and it works. His normal task doesn't use more than 40 kilobit per second bandwidth, which means can cram a lot of user sessions into a 10 megabit line, which is maybe in schools where they use it still very often. They don't have the money to upgrade to expensive switched networks with 100 megabit connectivity. So what we can use that technology for in KDE is if we've got one or more application servers which are at our disposal, hosted somewhere in the world. It could be on a cluster like we have in the back of that building. It could be on an IBM Blade server. And currently we are in discussion with a few potential sponsors, because it would also, of course, highlight their hardware. Anyway, they could market their hardware, and it would be also beneficial for them if they can do PR around that. I expect that within the next year we will move a lot of our KD development centered around NX technology. Now talking about NX, the core libraries are in the GPL. No machine have put the compression and the caching and the round trip suppression, which is the three core elements to make NX work, as you have seen here, under the GPL. And you can compile it yourself, and you can even run it on the command line if you know what you do. A lot of people didn't know what to do. So NX wasn't taken notice of for nearly 1.5 years. Some people looked at it and saw on the No Machine web page, oh, they are offering a commercial product. That can't be free software. We are not going to use it. We are not even going to look at it. Anyway, this is going to change now because Fabian, who is one of the Knoppix developers and who is now also joining the KD development team, he has written a free NX server based on the GPL parts of the No Machine code. And No Machine is supporting that. They said from the beginning when they published it that they are going to support a free implementation, a GPL implementation of that, and they want that a free implementation is compatible to their commercial versions, so that the commercial client, which is free as in beer, and the commercial server interoperate with any free client and server. So what a few people are going to hack on during this week, like Aaron, who was introducing this talk, and Robin, Hans Wenninger, and maybe a few others, is to start the creation of an NX client, a KNX client, or whatever the final name will be, which is fully integrated into KDE. Some of you may know that we have previewed, we've shown a preview of a KNX client at the last Linux talk, but that was not in any way fully integrated into the KDE desktop. It was more or less a standalone program which happened to use Qt as its base library. The future KDE NX client will of course be better integrated, like supporting Keo slaves, supporting kparts, etc. I don't know what Fabian is doing here. Probably he is now trying to connect to one of the setup free NX servers which he has on the internet based on Knoppix, because Knoppix, the next release of Knoppix, will contain the first preview of the free NX server code. So you can play with that. And maybe Fabian wants to say something about how this free NX is implemented. Aaron, could you tell me how much time is gone already? 25 minutes left.
What we see is a laptop. A laptop with a broken display. Well, first I thought, shit, the display is broken and I cannot use this, that laptop anymore. And then I thought, well, could shout me something and see it, an X will rescue me. I'll be able to use my laptop anyway, because the new display for that laptop would have cost more than the laptop itself. And now the best thing is I used that NX from No Machine and Kurt talked to me on IRC about his talk at LinuxTag, how he wanted to show with some scripts to use that component. And in one night I thought, well, wouldn't it be possible to do everything that No Machine did with their server with just free software? And so I started. And Kurt got a mail from me that day called NX is almost free because I've just written a server in 4 hours from 4 o'clock in the, I know, 5 hours from 4 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock. Oh. And because Bash was the best thing I knew, I've written that NX server, which is also running here and does my session in complete Bash. I just think I can slowly show it. Well, as it's just DSL, it's a bit slower, but I think it's still quite usable. And what I basically does was connect to a commercial NX server, connect back to another.
Can you change your highlighting or color scheme?
Yes. I connected to a commercial NX server and let the NX client connect to me, and then I saw the protocol and I thought, wow, cool, it's quite easy to use that open source component. And so we here have a free NX server with a complete session management, so we also support, I don't think, Kurt, have you?
I've not mentioned.
No. What you can do with NX is you can just use one of those sessions. Hope I find the right one. Think about that one. Nope. Wait a moment. Yes, that one. If I just try to close that window, does it? Yes. NX asked me if I want to suspend, terminate, or cancel that session. And if I choose to suspend it, I can later reconnect to it. So what they did was basically they first made it possible to reconnect to running sessions. So I could have read my mails somewhere on the internet, then I suspend that session and now I could resume to the session. And this also does already work with the free NX component. On LinuxTag we then did, based on that code, we did a free client, and so NX can be used completely with free software.
What do you think? What do you think? Do you think this is a good idea for use in KDE development? Do you think it's a good idea to have one central server which can run 200 or even more concurrent sessions where people access, people of course with the right credentials, who are established KDE developers? Established KDE beta testers whom we would give access and accounts, then they could use that to help us speed up our development work.
The main issue I have with NX is its GPL licensing, because that does make it hard to integrate with the main X tree, which is purely MITx 11 and 203 cores BSD.
So you have got issues with the GPL?
I have issues with X stuff in the GPL because it diversion X kind of disturbs me. But do you see that as a problem, that because it's GPL, it does have to be divergent because it won't be accepted into the X-tree under that license?
Why should it be accepted into the X-tree? It doesn't need to. Because it works with all known working axioms. It's a proxy. It's completely separate from your X, which you have installed on your local client, and it's completely separate from your X, which you might have installed on your remote server. It is a proxying system. It's using two different libraries, even if they are called X11 or something, two different locations. They don't conflict, and also the licenses don't conflict. Anyway, I'm a supporter of the GPL, and I think No Machine has done the right decision. They use the protection of the GPL to make sure that this remains free software. It's similar to Qt.
Good. Yeah, I mean, I love that, the idea. I remember.
I didn't understand it. Slowly, please.
it's his fault. I love the idea because I remember when we were debugging the kconfig editor problem. And you were having the problem that I just couldn't reproduce, and one of the reasons was the fact that it was a bug in the synchronization mechanism between GPLBus and Q, and there was no way for me to find it locally. If you hadn't done it over the remote NX connection, I just could never find the bug. So that was one of the things I really liked about that. And since I don't have access to anything like that at home, I think that would be a great idea. Not so much a question, just get into it.
That's it.
The X protocol lets you open a single window inside your current session. That means you don't have to open a new entire session inside a window. NX lets you do that?
NX lets you do that too. But currently, there's a little drawback with single window sessions. They are not as fast as full screen or full desktop sessions. Because NX uses three components to get the speed. First is the compression. The NX compression, which is an algorithm which is faster than anything and more effective than anything. Then it's the caching of bitmaps which are being transferred. If you test this, and the next couple of days or next week, you will have a lot of possibilities to test NX and FreeNX, because the cluster in the back will have a FreeNX server. We have not yet configured it because we didn't have enough time, but it will truly happen during Monday, and the rest of the days you can play with it. But the caching is the second. The third is the suppression of round trips, and that's very, very important to make X fast, to have as little round trips as possible. Now, in the single window mode, or single application window mode, you have got the first two, and it makes it faster than pure X. But you don't have the round trip suppression, so it makes it slower than the NX we've seen here. The thing is that No Machine or whoever helps them, because it's GPL, one needs to develop a rootless NX proxy, a rootless NX agent. Anyway, that's maybe for now too complicated. For those people who are more closely interested in learning to know that technology, we will have a few sessions in the next days where we explain the technology in detail. And it's not a fundamental problem. It can be created within a few weeks if somebody sits down and codes with that.
Just as a matter of fact, I think companies are looking for stuff like this, as I ask it, because the sometimes I see companies wanting to build a browser server, a mail application server, and stuff like that. So the user will click an icon and it will open a browser from that server, another icon to open.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's very true. And also look at how successful Windows Terminal Service are, or Citrix is, or even Linux Application Service, Linux Terminal Server Project. They can all, or the LTSP can benefit a lot from that technology if they just put that on additionally. Our friends from the Scholy Linux project are building a Debian-based distribution for using in school, in schools, and also everywhere else where you want to build on an architecture with application service. And for them, it is also a very big advantage to integrate that into their distribution. One other example is IBM. I talked to a few people at IBM. I did a few demos in the IBM headquarters in Berlin to a few people. And for them, a very big problem is with Lotus Notes, the synchronization of the data. And many of them said, we don't need the data locally. We can always access the data on the server. If we just open the window, we can look, because we only look at that once. And maybe the important stuff we print once. But then all this time-consuming synchronization will just be not necessary if they would access their Lotus Notes across NX links on NX server.
Were there any plans to integrate it with KRFB? Just because it seems to be such a kind of above VNC, and I mean, just how it works with less bandwidth.
That's actually one of the things we're going to be addressing this week, is integrating with the other KD tools that are meant for remote desktop access. So that was what we were referring to earlier about how the current one is standalone. But the big step forward this week should be working on integrating it with the other tools. So it's a uniform role, so you'll be able to just type in URLs in your mini client and they'll pop up. And you'll be able to have a single place to manage your RDP, VNC, NX sessions, and KDE, etc. So yeah, definitely we're working on integration.
Awesome.
I think the idea is very good for KDE development, but I also want to add another aspect which I saw during developing my program, and that is the testing of developers on machines that have different characteristics. For instance, on a machine, I said I don't have access to a 64-bit machine, and I had a lot of 64-bit specific bugs that could only be removed by somebody who has access to such a machine, or a machine with a different engine, that's a byte order, and or it's an actor or something hard to see underneath. The development would be easier if developers could access these machines for testing at least, and debugging their own programs, so that the cost machine compatibility is compatible issues
with this as well. One question for this big huge testing machine you mentioned. How do you want to handle the situation that somebody is logged in to test an application while the whole KDE system is rebuilt, for example, in CVS, without causing strange behavior like set calls and
of course, when you work with the KDE head, and if it is currently built, you have to expect some weird things. But still, it worked very well for me still on that server which I was showing here. By the way, that was a server which is hired, which is offered for rent on the internet by Schlund, if you are German, as a root server. And Schmund thought I was only using it to run Apache a bit and maybe a mail server. Happily, they had SUSE on it already, and they make available a local in their hosting center, a local SUSE installed server. So it took me about 40 or 45 minutes to install KDE on it. They didn't have, of course, KDE on it. And when I phoned them and said, the layout of the hard disk, the partitions, don't fit me. I need a partition for KDE. They said, are you crazy? Anyway, I managed around it with Symlink, and now it's working. It was up and running within 40 minutes just to install KDE on that root server and close our port, shut down all the other services, and just have opened the SSH port. You only need SSH. NX is not a daemon, an additional daemon opening an additional port. You connect to it through SSH. But when that was working, we had a demo in Center 2 with their manager, and they are even interested in supporting KDE and setting up such a thing. It could become a compile cluster or something. Talks are still going on.
Got another question. Is there support for local resources like some operators or local conditions?
He is very ambitious. this is ongoing work. Printing will be working or start to work in the 1.4 release of NX from the machine. What we saw here was the first snapshot release. This also this snapshot also supports this reconnection, detaching of a session, reattaching to a session, migration of a session from one client to another client machine. So your wife might phone you at work and say, come home, you have to say goodnight to the kids. So you go home, say goodnight to the kids, and do the dishes, and then you can connect again and finish your work for 20 minutes, and then your boss is happy the next morning. And your wife is happy the same evening. So yes, printing will work. Also, using local devices like serial ports to redirect from the remote session to access local devices, that's also being worked on. But this does not all depend on the machine and NX development, because what NX integrates is a lot of open source technology. NX utilizes Samba for file sharing. NX utilizes SSH for authentication. NX utilizes X for the foundation of their transport mechanism. They just added a few extensions to make it the NX protocol. The original creation of No Machine is the technology of the compression, the caching, and the round trip suppression. But to connect to a Windows server on the remote end, they use RDesktop. To connect to a VNC server on the remote end, it's the VNC viewer. To connect, there's about a dozen other open source components built into the whole setup of NX. A few of these things you said about this port redirection, the question is, where should it go best? Should it be a development independent, done by a new machine and just working with that? Or should it go into one of the other components?
I think it's also a great idea to help new users, as newbies to Linux and KDE. Somehow it has a problem, I can just connect to this machine or a machine and see what's wrong. I don't have to rely on the phone or just an SSH session.
that's true.
I just want to say that we had this discussion in French translation taking place about because one of the main problems we have for translating is that people are not capable of compiling a CPS version. Something like that will happen in Barcelona. The problem is that you need somebody constantly compiling the CPS because the CPS doesn't compile magically, and you have somebody knowledgeable. Capable of correcting the problems. So that's, but any technology is good, but at the other point, do we have somebody who will be motivated to compile constantly every day and correct the problem there? And all KDE, and especially all the language part of KDE. The language part of KDE does not always compile perfectly.
Okay, so the major problem seems to be, do we have people who are administering such a server if we had it? Well, I don't think this is a major problem now. It might be once we've got the machine. But that, really, I don't think it will be, because it is such a lot of fun also to play with. And people, who now have to administer our KDE resources anyway, a lot of servers. I think we will find a motivated, dedicated group of 5 or 10 people or even less, because you don't need many. You will have an ERP channel to say this doesn't work. And probably the translation teams would just look for their own translation module and nothing else, and they can take care. They will see if it doesn't compile. They could fix it with the help of some. I think we can have such a system in place in a very short time, and it will help a lot, and it will, all the jobs will be taken, I'm pretty sure.
Alright, I'll jump in. From the usability perspective, one of the issues that we deal with is being able to do what's more traditional usability testing in a distributed manner. Usually there's a lab and you run people through it. You sit there and watch them as they work, and that's with a global team that coordinates primarily over the internet. That's really difficult to do because we don't have such facilities available to us, and even if we did, we still run into the same problems that translation teams have, which is these are usually not people that can compile CS or 1-2 or whatever on their own. It also makes it difficult to try out multiple solutions because it raises the overhead necessary for the people doing the testing. With something like NX, one of the potential uses in the usability project is to be able to roll out prototypes, do extensive user testing from people in various locations around the world from a central machine that we, the usability team, can actually set up, design, manage, and maintain. So it may eventually, I hope, it will just give us a virtual usability testing lab and marry that with the distributed nature of open source software.
That one is the point of usability is that people will not be aware that the responsiveness is very good with NX, but it's not keeping my eye on this. Do you think that people will try and say, well, it's working too slowly, I want to die code and so on?
Well, I personally find the speed of not bad at all, okay. But even if it is an issue, that's rarely what we're testing in usability. I mean, if it's slow, it's slow. That's, again, with NX, that's not often an issue. But it's usually the actual interaction issues rather than how fast does it feel for you. Those kinds of things, yeah, would probably still remain on local testing. But the vast majority our usability problems have nothing to do with how fast things pop up or how fast things move. It has to do with organization, presentation, interaction patterns with applications, and all of those things are very easily tested over remote exceptions. So I don't think we'll be wrong.
Okay, I'm glad that you are helping my OS to get in shape again. And see you all in the different workshops and sessions and activities we are doing in the coming week. Just one thing, Gianfilippo Pinzani, the lead developer from No Machine, will be here next week. If I remember correctly, he comes on Tuesday and stays until Saturday. And we will have a Birds of a Feather session on Thursday, where we will discuss questions of this kind, how can toolkits, graphical toolkits like Qt, be optimized so that they work better with remote access. Because Gianfilippo has done a lot of research, probably more research than any other guy in the whole globe about making X11 across the network more responsive and more performant. And he found a lot of deficiencies and weaknesses also in Qt and GTK or other toolkits. He can explain a lot about what he found, and he can introduce you also at some of the tools he has developed, which are also built in part in NX, where you can see statistics about compressions, etc. So I think this will be a very interesting session next Thursday afternoon. And also, of course, you will all want to test and test drive the free NX server once it's under compile cluster. Okay, thanks, bye.